I'm the PAM part of this. One of our co-authors is also sitting here, Katie Judson from the SEVA Foundation, and the fourth person who works on this project is not here today. I'd like to tell you that you all are very special because this is the first public viewing of our temporary, but pretty much our logo for this project, so the SEVA and ABSL partnership, and we'll be talking about that today. So I forgot that we needed a disclosure slide. We don't have any conflicts of interest or any investment in this project. So I'm going to be telling you pieces that fit together over time and what our future is going to be. And I'm going to start with the background, the problems and players that provide the perspective for us. So these are probably not unique numbers to you. Those of you who are in vision care know just the sheer numbers that we're working with in vision and low vision. It's an important barrier to development in countries. Figure that I've seen. I don't have documentation for this one. Excuse me, I've got to get rid of this piece of candy. It was overwhelming me. That in India, you live perhaps 2 years if you're diagnosed blind because the infrastructure to support the blind is not there. So it's an enormous problem, and we know that most blindness and vision impairment can be prevented or cured. So this is a SEVA Foundation website talking a bit about global blindness levels. As part of the Vision 2020 program, the numbers are showing that blindness is actually being reduced over the course of this project. So we have new figures. 39 million are blind, down from 45 million worldwide, and 314 million reduced to 246 million with vision impairment. Again, an undocumented figure that I saw said that India needs 200,000 optometrists just to do what optometrists do. And currently, at least in the United States, the optometry scope of practice is getting bigger and may include surgery, pharmaceutical interventions, and so on. This is a picture at the Elite School of Optometry in Chennai of some of their first-year students who all have big smiles for us. So the players in our project include the Vision 2020, the Right to Sight Global Initiative, and probably everybody here knows a little bit about that. The SEVA Foundation, which I've known about for many, many years through various sort of personal connections, they have a mission to alleviate suffering caused by disease and poverty. They work particularly with women's health issues and with vision problems around the world. And the Global Sight Network, community centers of ophthalmology in the previous denomination, to support the Vision 2020 effort are part of SEVA's infrastructure and current projects. A little bit more about the Global Sight Network, providing a community-based approach to eye health in developing countries where most of the blind live. And in addition to providing health care, they train health and managerial personnel so that the programs can be spread and continue and that they are sustainable. A few pictures from some of the centers. So the role of these resource centers, which are another sort of code word of what I think of as a library, are to support these Global Sight Network operations in research and clinical support and education. So the resource center personnel, kind of an aspirational statement on the bottom here, that the personnel in the resource centers, so think librarians, play an integral part in their centers' programs. The third player in this field is the Association of Vision Science Librarians, and that's where Bette and I come in originally. So it's a group that's been going for about 40 some years. It started out originally as the optometry librarians in the United States and then expanded around the world, and in terms of ophthalmology librarians, some corporate people like Bausch & Lomb and Alcon, the American Academy of Ophthalmology. So libraries that have as their mission something to do with vision. And we currently have about 150 members in 26 countries around the world. We have specific kinds of collections in our institutions, and we serve education, clinical care, research, professional associations. And just a little map showing the proportion. You can see most of us are in the United States, but we do go around the world. And we communicate 24/7, and that means if at the end of my workday I need an article, I find out which of my colleagues has it, and I put a request on the listserv. And if it's somebody in India, they're just getting to work. So I sometimes have things within minutes because of this around-the-world network that we have. The fourth player here is the Elsevier Foundation, and probably most of you know that Elsevier publishes journals. They publish very high-quality biomedical journals and those in a lot of other fields. And they also participate in some projects to support people who can't in any way afford their subscriptions. And the Innovative Library Grants Program came to our attention a few years ago. You can see their program on the web. They fund 3 to 5 programs every year, and it's very competitive. The first year that we applied, there were more than 200 applicants, so the chance of getting a grant from them is far less than that, for instance, for an NEI or NIH money. So we started out a few years ago trying to think about how we can support these resource centers. This was actually before we even knew about the Elsevier program. And the first thing that we did was a stuff called iConnect 2007. It was a small workshop that took place in southern India, Madurai. And here you can see on the map, we're all the way south. Come on in, if you want to. We're nice. Or you need somebody. Pardon me? It's working, thank you. Okay, sure. So it's a long way to Madurai from wherever you're going. And Madurai is home for the Aravind Eye Center, the Lions Aravind Lions Aravind Institute for Community Ophthalmology. Okay, and they have actually a very good library. A stellar collection of people, very highly trained with 2 professional degrees in librarianship, which is more than most of our members in the United States have. So the workshop goals here were to plan and lay a foundation for development and maintenance of information resource centers at these community centers for ophthalmology. And we had people from these centers from India, Nepal, Tanzania. We didn't have representation at that time of Guatemala and Egypt. And then they brought a few of us from the United States and Canada to be, and Sally Parsley from the United Kingdom as well. There was funding from SEVA, some funding from Google. A young man from Google showed up one morning to tell us about how Google search could, you know, just eliminate the need for all of us. It was a little bit confusing, you know? But he was young. Okay. And this is one of the working sessions. So we had a lot of people from Aravind. If those of you who don't know about it, there's a new book out called Infinite Vision. It's a good place and a very important place. So they're set up to handle workshops and just do all the support, and their librarians were there. And we had a wonderful time, and part of the project was to formally say to those people who came that who are not ADSL members, you're part of our group, and we gave them membership certificates and drew pictures and tried to tell them how they could take advantage of this network. The young woman you see here with the label Sudha is from the Lumbini Eye Institute in Nepal, and she traveled 56 hours by various modes of transportation to get to us and went home very excited. So while she, you know, took home the recognition of what we'd come up with as a group, she went out and found 8 of her colleagues in Nepal, so 6 people in Kathmandu acting as vision librarians. They never talked to each other. They didn't know each other existed. They didn't share resources. She pulled them together, got grant money from INASC and SEVA, and called those of us from the West to Lumbini. So here we are, and close there is a place where you stand on a piece of plexiglass, which is supposed to mark the spot where the Buddha was born. It was an exciting meeting. We were at the Lumbini Eye Institute, which had started 2 years before that with literally a couple boxes of journals on a floor. That was the picture that she had shown us in 2007. By 2008, she had a couple computer terminals, she had shelves, she had people coming into the library. And we had a wonderful time meeting our colleagues from Nepal and bringing them into the network. So she had invited, this picture includes vision librarians, it also includes ophthalmologists and a couple people from Tribhuvan University and their library school who came. By the last day, it was just the hardcore librarians. But the ultimate goal of both of these workshops, remember, was to participate in the Vision 2020 program and in the reduction of blindness through improved access to learning resources and management. And now that I somebody at the University of Michigan, one of my former students here, used to say, this is Andrew Vine, a vacation, a change is as good as a vacation. So that is your vacation.
Here I am. So I'm going to tell you where we are today and where we're going. As Pam mentioned, we received a grant in 2011 for the years 2012 through 2014. We actually applied, that was our third time to apply. Third time was a charm. So we were notified in late December, and we tried to hit the ground running on January 1st. These are some of the other grants that have been funded by the Elsevier Foundation, the Innovative Grants for Small Libraries. And you can see there are a whole host of topics that are covered. So one of the things that we've tried to do and have been successful at is making connections in all directions. We've had north-south connections. Now we have south-north connections. We also have south-south and, of course, north-north connections. So as an example, last year sometime, a question went out from Southern California, which one of our members, one of the AVSL members, asked about information for the use of contact lens therapies and the treatments of glaucoma, challenges of contact lenses. Within minutes of her request, she had answers from all over the world, and including from India. So she had information from all those things. And so we're especially pleased to see information coming from India or from Nepal to the developed world, because it shows us how good our connections and our network is. So there are continuing challenges that we face. For one thing, there are really meager access to information resources, and there are many reasons for that. Greg, our moderator, is a colleague of the Resource Center, the head of the Resource Center in Guatemala, and they have absolutely nothing there. Their library is the collection of books from Kim Yi, Greg's colleague, who went to optometry school, and her husband, who's an ophthalmologist. So we're really working to overcome challenges like that. The training and the education of staff are variable, and this is another good example of that. Kim is an optometrist. She's not really there to be heading the resource center, but she's acting in that role. There is a lack of awareness of what materials are available. There are a number of open access resources that are available that some of our members don't even know about yet. There is an initiative called HINARI. It's health information for something or other, which is a program put together by some of the major publishers, biomedical publishers in the world, including Elsevier. And it makes the scientific literature available at free or at low cost to certain countries in the developing world. India and China are not in there. So one of our challenges is to try to find ways to provide some of these HINARI accesses to our other centers that are not HINARI eligible. And of course, infrastructure problems, because many of these places don't even have electricity all the time they're there. So in the months since January 1st, we've actually accomplished quite a bit. We had an assessment where all our 8 resource centers and their institutions filled out an assessment form that we had sent around. the librarians at Arvind did some very good analysis of the responses, and we've been able to develop work plans for each of our eight resource centers that we're working with. One thing we were able to do from the analysis was to kind of home in on a few basic things that were needed in all these resource centers. So we're trying to get started with that. We're trying and beginning to set up mentorships, so some of the more experienced librarians in our Association of Vision Science Librarians are being partnered with some of the librarians in the resource centers. We have developed some core competencies that we would like to develop in all the resource centers. And we have two workshops planned. One is in November, and it's going to be at LICO, and it will be for the Indian librarians and for Nepal, India and Nepal. So we've left out Tanzania and Guatemala and Egypt. So they're going to get started then, and then in March we have planned an all-resource center workshop. And at this moment we think it's going to take place in Hyderabad at the L.V. Prasad Eye Institute, where one of our members is. So we do have goals for the 3 years of our grant. There are individualized work plans that we are developing. We will be having podcasts and proceedings for the workshops, probably beginning in the one in March. We will also have cross-program mentoring site visits. We're going to be doing that in March, where we're going to be going off to some of the more remote resource centers so that we can actually see what they're like and what they need. We hope by the end of the 3 years that we will have developed some best practices for all the centers. We will try to improve the connectivity, teaching tools, and especially the resources, whether in print or electronic. And at the end, we will also have a follow-up assessment so we can compare where we are. And so we wanted to show you some of the resource centers that the institutions where our resource centers are. So this is Chitkarut, and maybe Suresh, you can tell us where in India that...
It is in the border of Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh. It's northern India.
It's northern India, okay. And then this is in West Bengal, which is...
Eastern India,
okay. We had a member from here who came to that first workshop in Madurai in southern India, and he was second only to Suda in the amount of time. It took him about 2 days to get to southern India. L.V. Prasad is in Hyderabad in north of southern India. Yeah, the north of southern India, that's what I'm trying to say. Arvind, which you saw is way in the south and a very well-developed... I guess Pam didn't mention, but Arvind started in 1976 with 11 beds, and now in 2012 it's the largest system in the world. It's got five mentor hospitals?
It is like seven tertiary care hospitals, five secondary care hospitals, and 43 primary care hospitals.
Right. So by the book, Infinite Vision, and it's all about this incredible place.
And the DVD.
There's a.
Remember to take your tissues if you watch that.
Right. It's an incredible video of the story of Arvind. It's just an incredible story. The Lumbini Eye Institute in southern Nepal that you've seen some pictures of, where we had our second meeting. and visually though where Kim, you know, Greg's colleague worked, and you can see actually there's Kim right there, and I think that's her husband right behind her. So they really run the center. And even they have, when we asked Kim to tell us about Visualiza, she said, well, you know about Aravind, that's what we're trying to do for Guatemala. Al-Noor in Cairo, and the Kilimanjaro Center for Community Ophthalmology. And you can see that we have a question mark there. After the grant was given to us, we discovered that there was what we consider to be a hostile takeover of this center. And so the focus is now, it's not eye health anymore. It's a broader focus, and we don't exactly know what's going to happen there, but we think there might be some opportunities for us to develop maybe a virtual resource center for all of sub-Saharan Africa. So we're hoping that what's happened there is positive and not negative. So another outcome for us is that we've developed a number of partnerships, including this one with the Vision Care section. We've given talks, or we are going to be giving talks at a lot of these places to make sure that people know about us. And we really do have a lot of new and exciting partnerships. So again, the goals of Vision 2020, we believe, are facilitated by trained vision science librarians who are linked with their colleagues through the Association of Vision Science Librarians, and to support the resource centers that in turn support their eye care institutions. And we believe our future is so bright, we need shades. So we support knowledge, and knowledge heals. Thank you. And there we wanted to put our logo up there again. Our artist is Katie, and thank you.
One more slide.
Oh, yeah, references, if you
like.
Right.
Most important slide.
Right.